Deal with integrity in the funds that we have, and only deal with Now I'm going to give how you deliver in terms of the NSDS strategy. These are the calendar that we've done. Objective one, that is the prioritizing and communicating critical skills for sustainable growth, growth, development and equity. We've achieved 135 against the target that was set for us. We continue to do a career guidance project, which is those presentations we make at schools, career days that was sent to make sure that we popularize banking as a career of choice to people that are at school, at FET, and at university. Sector skills plan to continue that we on an annual basis collate and develop and publish a sector skills plan that says these are the critical skills in our sector. This is what we've been striving to recruit, and this is what we're going to do about that. Objective two is promoting and accelerating quality training for all in the workplace, so that we achieve almost fivefold. That is because of the mandatory grants. Most of the lady-paying companies, all lady-paying companies in our sector, are fulfilling the requirements to be paid their grants. We continue to support the small and medium enterprises, companies, to support them in terms of for some skills development, to also for their ability to fulfill their requirements in terms of the Act. We continue to do aided programs, basically a white collar industry. Lenderships for employees inside banks, these are start from the FEMA, which are matriculants that come into our sector, Kuyasa, which recruits graduates. Skills program for employees, these are people that already are inside banks. Junior middle management programs, which is quite the biggest one, and also those skills programs in terms of customer facing risk and those kind of things. Objective three, promoting employability and sustainable livelihoods through skills development. We've achieved 166%, that is our support to non-labor paying company enterprises, non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations, co-ops, to assist them to build a better business. We spend a lot of money in terms of training people that are in co-ops in the rural areas, who run village co-ops, village banks and things like that, even savings organizations, to assist their board members to understand their obligations in terms of the Act and what they should do. Objective four, that is assisting designated groups, that is in terms of the Employment Equity Act, including new entrants who come into our sector to get accredited work. That is those people who have done training and require some workplace training to get their full qualification, to get integrated learning in terms of both classroom-based education and work-based education, to acquire physical skills to enter the labor market and self-employment, we've achieved 118 of that. Under that program, we run niche learnership for unemployed learners. This has been very popular given the unemployment in the country and also the popularity of, for example, for banking as a profession. The same I have always referred to those two. Tusanani Work Readiness Program is a program in which we give people a training, working together with other teachers, especially accounting people, to come into our sector, and we give them the bursaries and also the stipends. Cedar Bursaries, this is a university based in Johannesburg, which we offer bursaries to 100 a year, and these people are recruited throughout the whole country. And we continue to give them this bursaries, and we continue to do marvelous work at this university. And the bank has the first right to employ these people. And up to now, the employment into our sector has been about 80%. We continue to do a program which is a vision program for learners with disabilities. If you look at what the requirements of the NSDS, so 85% has to be people of some designated people. 4% has to be people with disabilities. Our sector continues to lag behind in sustainability. employing people with disabilities. So we continue to get programs in terms of where they are at school to make sure that they are ready to get into either the FEMA or the IASA. And this program is under the good partnership with the Tribal Native Development Trust. We've also struck a new arrangement with the University of Venda. They are disabled people's projects to help them to get a computer program to assist people who have either this disability impairment or movement impairment to be able to cope with their studies. We continue also to support new venture creation programs, that is people that are not necessarily in our sector who want to set up businesses, because we believe banking will do well when the whole economy does well. Objective 5, improving the quality and relevance of provision, that is the provision of the training that we provide and the support of funds. This we have achieved 235%. This has been primarily one, the provincial centers of excellence, and provincial centers of excellence are those centers that we are supporting that are not necessarily that have been in a number of provinces. The first one was the University of Pretoria Center for Microfinance that trained people that are in microfinance to manage those businesses, and they have a certificate in microfinance. And that program is doing very well. The majority of those people have started their own businesses, and most of the people in microfinance have sent their people to that program. We have a skilled resource center, and about which we are particularly proud. We started to support a teacher resource center in the Eastern Cape, in an area called the city. It was aimed at assisting the teacher's ability to teach math, accounting, and English, to improve the quality of the students that we get into our program. We begin to find major problems in recruiting matriculants with a path in accounting and math to get into either the CA program or the other program, as the business analyst and those type of programs. This program has done so well that in the last examination, not this year, the past, the one that has passed, in the last examination, 11 of the students that came from those schools have been recruited to the University of Cape Town. Two of them are doing an actuarial program and are being paid by a company outside our sector. Support of providers to deliver the new venture creation program. So we actually have struggled to get particularly HDIs to contract with us. So we go out there to assist them to fulfill our requirements so they can contract with us. What are the strategic imperatives of our sector? We continue to run an international executive development program abroad. Last year we ran one for retail banking, that is the kind of banking that ordinary people do, with the University of Boston in Holland, in Rotterdam, and another one in London, in association with two business schools in the country. So those programs have done exceptionally well for our sector, because they nominate people that are in their talent pool, and the majority of those people are being promoted and for their job being significantly expanded. We are in no way saying that it is because only of this program, but the only thing we can assure of that the banks are nominating the people that they themselves want to promote. We do microfinance sector needs analysis for last year to find out exactly what do people in the microfinance sector need to be able to do their businesses better. We paid for this needs analysis, and out of that came a research that says the kind of programs that they need are not necessarily different from ordinary banking, except for the compliance side. We continue to run master's and executive short courses for people in middle management and senior management inside banks, the executive development program, MDTs, and MBAs in local universities. We continue to run a AAA lifelong learning initiative inside banks, where the banks themselves come with a grant. We open a grant funding window, and they make the application using the funding to run those programs. We have done something new in the past 2 years, Jefferson. We are funding doctoral and postdoctoral studies to be able to, as you probably are aware, that in our country, especially as people of color, we do not have enough PhDs. No, we have enough people that teach in our sector, the accounting, economics, business economics, and actuarial science, that teach in those subjects. So we we've gone in to fund people in those areas so that we can continue to teach. We, up to now, we have 18 people that we've funded, and we've opened a current funding window, and we're getting fairly good applications. One of them is a fairly probably an exceptional lady, University of Northwest, who's doing financial modeling in applied mathematics. We also ran a computer-based banking support edition program with the Vinci University, and out of that, 100 people were trained, and they're currently working inside there. In terms of the phase compliance, which is the financial and mediation and support people program, that says by law, nobody who does not have minimum NQF level 5 can give people financial advice. So we've been trying with assisting banks to raise that level, and that has gone very well. We run an online portal in which people get training, get assessed, and continue to do their work. Chairperson, this sector is not immune to the scale of HIV and AIDS, and we continue to support banks with programs to make sure that the people that we train, our trainees, eventually live if they are infected, that they get on the programs. If they are not, that they continue to live a safe life. We continue to make that awareness throughout all the people in our sector to make sure that we actually get the maximum benefit in longevity. We continue to run a very successful junior middle management program in terms of people that have done and been in banks for a long time to get into supervisory work. Alignment to the future in skills development. You probably are aware that the Quality Council for Trade and Occupation has been launched. We have the first two pilot programs registered for bank worker and a notes processor. Now we've got four qualifications registered in the QCTO as the bank teacher. We continue to do research and benchmark the things that we do in our sector, especially in the training of people that are in our sector. We are among the least sectors in doing recognition of prior learning. This we do with the university in the Netherlands, where RPL is not used as an access to further training, but to say the people have been working at all levels in our sector and doing a lot of work. And because they do not have the requisite qualifications on paper, they are not given either the recognition or the pay that goes with that. So we find we're doing moderators and assessors, and we're writing all of those things. And it is not an easy thing, but I think it is a fair thing to do, one. It also makes us assist the banks to fulfill their age requirement as well. But also, I think, in all fairness for everybody who would be caught in that situation because of age, because of areas that we were in, whatever the case may be, to make sure that the action are taken fair. We also have a fairly big project in which we went to Germany, and I think we were with the minister in one of those things. We are researching the dual education system that the Germans are using. And slowly, it is a system where in Germany last the previous year, they had 900,000 people passing what is an equivalent of matric. Two-thirds of those people went to learnership and apprenticeship. Only a third of them went to university. And the German banks do, they take people at FET colleges from what you call grade 10 here. They give them a contract for some inside banks. They work on a block release, study on a block release, but work inside banks for half the period, and the other half they continue to be in school. They do courses that are only relevant to do what is called, in German it's called Bank Kaufmann qualification to the bank salesman. And this program is, the research is almost complete, and we are signed to do a pilot with Standard Bank, and it has been put there because of the current problems they are having. Viability and relevance of the bank sector, the customer satisfaction survey, we scored 4.1 out of 5 in a survey done not by ourselves, done by from all the people that were saying that we deal with all our stakeholders, that is levy paying companies, non-levy paying companies, beneficiaries, and service providers. 4.1 is, let's say, they are quite satisfied with what we do. We continue to market and communicate our existence and what we do. We We've developed advertising material to make sure people in all four corners of our country are aware of the programs we do, that there's a fair chance of being considered when we run programs or we recruit people. We've got a CI, corporate identity manual, that says this is what we are about. Global and local media, this we are. We don't spend a lot of money to advertise ourselves, but we believe the web does that for us. In terms of employment equity, we employ 39 people, only 3 of them are male, the rest are female, and predominantly African or African females. We do not invite them. And this is a graph that represents the first slide. An efficient and effective administrative system. In terms of governance, we've received unqualified audits, which have been the same since we were established. In terms of administration costs, we remain spending 91% under the allowed admin expenses that we are allowed by law. In terms of human resources, we continue to benchmark HR practices and we retain the staff, a very lean staff complement of 29. We have implemented a balanced scorecard that makes sure that from in terms of finance, we have managed the finance, we manage the internal processes, we manage how we are seen by the requirements of our clients and how we are seen by them. We also go out and ask people how do we live our days. And this is a survey that is done by an external company that assesses from the receptions that certainly they get when they get into our offices, how they deal with every part of our business. Out of that, we scored 4 out of 5. Financial highlights. 80% of levy income decreased by 0.4% from 329 the previous year to 328. This is really the function of the global contraction of we have, however, continued to increase the discretionary grant expenditure from 98.9 million the previous year to 155 million. So, really, the fact I'm saying our company, the companies in our sector, continue to submit their AWSP, continue to do the training that is accredited, and also to work towards the transformation in our sector. Thirdly, the mandatory grant payout percentage in terms of we remain consistently at 96%. The benefit has allocated 100% of even including surplus funds available to discretionary project as of the 31st March 2010. Financial highlights. Chairperson, it's our pleasure to report our financial statements, which we see in our annual report, which is as follows. We always said 80% of levy income that came to us reduced by 0.4% to 3.8 million from 2009. Investment income reduced from 19 million to 11 million. It's really the function of the continuous reduction in interest rates in the past 2 years that we've seen. The total revenue, that is sum of the 80% levy income, the NSF income, and investment income, came down from 323 million to 352. Total expenses, that is all our admin expenses, rental, salaries, NSF expenses, grant and project expenses, increased from 350 million to 403 million. We have no surplus, so we had a deficit, so we spent 101. So it went to minus 51 million. Cash and cash equivalent reduced from 150 million to 135. Total surplus allocated is 662 million has been allocated, and out of 562 has been spent. If you look at the trajectory from 2006 to where we are, surplus funds available, which is column A, is from 2006 we were at 241 million, we're now at 651. Surplus funds allocated out of that percent. If you look at that percent, from we had 241 spent allocated 226. Last year we had 651 allocated 662. So we spent all of that, and the trajectory continues to rise. That means we found a way of finding very good projects, finding to translate projects and proposals to projects and spending that and disbursing those funds. So this is a surplus fund spend. Out of the surplus, after you spend all that, what remains, what we spend, has increased from 163 million in 2006 to 566 million in this year. This is a percentage of between the two lines, the two last lines. If you look at what we call A and C. So the percentage of us then, how we spend our surplus fund, we increased from 72% to 85%. That really shows the efficacy of our ability to spend money, to find projects, and to spend money in the year that we have. One of the key functions of the SLITA is to be an ETQA quality assurance for training in our sector. What we've done this year is to introduce a full-time monitoring and site visit resource for the first time from 5th January 2009 to make sure that the people, when people are saying they submitted ATR, they actually have submitted it. If they say they do the training, they actually can go and see those records on site and what is in that kind of stuff. And when people apply to be accredited as providers in our sector, we actually do not depend on their ability to come to us. We send somebody to go to them, given that we are Caldenians. We have launched a new Benefitter ETQA operating model with new processes and workflows, new policies, new templates, as of the 1st of September 2009. I must also mention that we actually have our accreditation from SACWA as an ETQA. Registration of the first QCA curriculum qualification, that is the one I refer to, and work occupation.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only thing that I could add to the joint CEO said that in terms of what is requirement of the SLA to the Bank CTA and our Department of Higher Education and Training and previously the Department of Labor, that Bank CTA has consistently performed well and consistently been one of the top performing CTAs around. In terms of what the sector wants from the Bank CTA, also the Bank CTA has consistently looked after the needs of the sector. Also, for 10 years running since its inception, the Bank CTA has had an unqualified financial audit, and the Bank CTA's finances are healthy. Always, the admin expenses are within the 10% allocated, and whatever the surplus are, is then spent on discretionary projects. So from a Bank CTA Council, both from a business perspective and from a labour perspective, the Bank CTA is in good hands, and the Council is proud of the accomplishments of the Bank CTA.
Thank you. Members, I'm going to open for comments and questions to the CTA. And we'll engage on the presentation. I just noted that I was saying to Anne, he has tried to promote us through the Bank CTA and call it as a cabinet portfolio committee. We are not a cabinet portfolio committee. A cabinet committee is the one that ministers chairs under the president's guise. We must make sure and then everything in time. Portfolio committee of higher education and training. I know it could be an error, but I was just whispering to me. You want us to be fired here. Members, questions, comments? Honorable Van der Weyden, Honorable Khatebe, Honorable Moshwana, those are the three hands I have as they interact with the city. On that order, members.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I ask this question to the Chairperson of the Board? I know they say that banks don't pay well, but I see the CEO has had an increase of 41% in his remuneration. That is if he was there the full previous year. Why was that at the time sudden turnaround from showing a surplus to quite a vast deficit of 51 million in the previous financial year. What happened so drastically so that your financial position changed so
considerably?
And
training for all in the West. But then what is all? Because a service delivery in this country is as a municipality. And if this all does not include municipalities, who will be seated with money delivery, yet we have got a member, which is the bank. The bank can definitely be with you. And I want to check if this all definitely includes or to a higher percentage talks to municipalities. I thank you.
My apologies for coming late. Well, good report, very good report. And one is that with the particularly management of the finances. Just the first one is a comment on page 23 of your report, unless if it has not been corrected. Because I saw some of you say you are established on the 1st of April 2010. That has been corrected. Please be sure of the actual cost hard copy on delivery. I was going through this and I was saying if you are established on the 1st of April 2010, you can't be 10 years old. I know that is a typo, but just wanted to bring it to your attention. The other thing that I want to check on the question of the RPN. And the partnership with an overseas entity. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just trying to check whether it was because the local universities are not responsive and all those things that you tried to that. I'm not saying you can't do that, as you do that, but I'm just trying to get the relationship with local institutions of higher level. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thanks, Chief. Mine is going to go to the NSGD, NSGD achievement. When you look at the power statistics and we look at the achievement statistics, my mind seems to me that the power statistics are very low, and that's why we can have such excellent achievements. That you can achieve 800%, 1000%, 299%. Maybe I'm not reading something correctly, but when I look for instance on page 86 to 47, number of workers that have registered ABIC level 1. It says the target of 6. ABIC level 4, that target is set at 20. It says as in 20 hard bodies, and then we achieve 83, and we're 415% achieved. And I presume this is for the whole country. Our targets will take low chances. And then you have these great achievements that is portrayed in our report. You know, you have workers successfully completed unit standard-based skills program. We set a target of 400 and we achieved 3,327 and we have 831% achievement. Our targets must be set extremely, extremely low. Thanks, Jeff.
I think the comment I made earlier on still stands when I spoke to the fitness teacher around us having to intensively look at the stress now. And what Honourable Nelson is alluding to that, that through the department, and I was saying to our researcher, that we need to either write a letter through the department. In terms of just saying, let's engage intensively with the exact place. But secondly, when you look at the annual report, and you know that the portfolio committee, we have not been engaging with this interactive section of work, and we are doing it through the annual report without the structure. But there is a need for consistency in terms of the structure across the board. Because if you look at the annual report, they are very extremes. The other one decides to report on this one, the other one reports on the block. want the stress plates, the way they are designed and they are developed, we know that the teachers are responding to their sector. But in terms of the mandate is the same. But if you look at the stress plates, they vary. And some of the issues, you better to find the information. I mean, what Honorable Nelson is raising is quite important. To say, if you look at the targets, if you target very, very low, you sit it high. But you can't make the future now and think that you are achieving high of your targets. They are putting according to the first thing that is there in place, that there has been approved. So the issues for us to move back, Mr. Hall, onto the stress plans, drill down, look at the stress plans, look at what is feasible, what are the demands of the sector, and what are the demands in public. So that when stress plans are set, we are able to speak to what is feasible and what we can be able to make as an impact in our community. So as I said, that's my comments on what I made on the feedback feature, still stands. And noting that the feature was, I think, if I'm not wrong, you know, in the chat, the feature was the last one to be established in the country. You were not there. I can't remember, you were the last feature. I'm right. It's what? Oh, the first one was the last one, but then you're second last. Because you're one of the last features to be established. And I echo the sentiment that you really put the words in terms of the work, trying to catch up with other features. One thing that I want to just check, the issue of lesson recruitment. I know that you recruit and training is still based in Gauteng, not necessarily out. Okay. Because when last I interpreted it was still based in Gauteng, but to say that is the demand that is there. What you recruit as lesson because of the demand in the second sector. We have a closed, not very close sector, Mahanakuni, like other features. And what you recruit as your matriculants into the system, having been to be employed, the capacity. Because the last time I checked, we had quite a number of learners that are going to them, but the demand wasn't much there. In terms of banks being able to absorb the teachers. But the other thing, you know, your learners, but the other thing that I want to check is the issue of your qualifications of learnership. I know that you are reporting on two learnerships. Are these the current ones that you run? When banks register learnerships, for example, in FNP, they, I don't know if they still have, but the learnerships around the customer advisor learnerships, CSR learnerships that they are running to try and meet the target of fees compliance as well. Those learnerships, in terms of accounting for them, where do they fall? Because I could hear when you spoke about learnership, you mentioned two types of learnerships only, and you couldn't go into the other ones. I'm just trying to check in terms of that, of the issues of, and even the I know that you are reporting on your WFP as well, your ETR. But the issue that concerns me most and which would affect you, the banking industry is more dominated when you look at the top. You do not find mainly your African people there. The industry somehow, in terms of qualifiers and all that, is looking at the bank. And even the interest, maybe that's why you're running in career guidance, the interest and various broader qualifications that can exist within the banking industry is not that much. But your skills development programs that are able to assist, especially employed learners within this industry, to have the qualifications to be able to move up the ladder. If you can just comment around those ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to just talk about the remuneration. The Remuneration Committee at the Bank CETA is a subcommittee of the Council, and it is formed. populated by, it consists of all independent council members. Remuneration of the bank sector, including the CEO's salary, is based on benchmarking with what is paid in the environment, in the market, and the CEO's salary is closely linked to certain performance appraisals that are required. The food and beverage seats are mentioned a little bit early on that they had, whilst the first 2 5-year licenses were awarded, the last license was just awarded for a 1-year period, and there was quite a bit of uncertainty in terms of what's going to happen in the CETA landscape and which CETAs, if any, would merge with other CETAs. So the long and short of really what I want to say is there was a retention problem, and the bank CETA wasn't immune to that, and there was quite a lot of senior people that left, managers that left, and with a staff complement of 29, they created a problem. The board therefore introduced a retention bonus that was to be paid out to staff members, and your increase in the CEO's remuneration included the retention bonus. With regard to the deficit, I'm sure that the CFO would be able to give you a better clarity. It's just regarding more money was spent on the sector, money carried over from the previous year. So the more it's spent, the better it is for the sector.
You're saying that the CEO's salary went up with 41% because it included your annual increase and the retention. When did the CEO join the CETA? 2007. So was this applicable to all staff members in terms of retention?
Yes.
Across the board, 41%.
No, the retention bonuses were different, and I wouldn't be able to tell you right now what the differences were. But you said it was a 30%, 31%, 41. That is partly made up of the retention bonus. The annual increase that was awarded to the CEO was in line with what was awarded throughout the sector, throughout the industry.
Just to check, your retention bonus was at what percentage? understand the issue of trying to make sure that you don't lose does not make sense to me. When the country was in such difficulty financially, are you saying that every policeman that came to feature, if they left, would have better to replace them? Was it worth it? Just give us an indication, because I'm failing to understand it where I am. To say that you'd better to get people to come in into the sector. I don't really see the scarcity there in terms of the work of the future.
Madam Chair, can I in part answer that? The figure that is published in the annual report is not the retention bonus only. That is made up of a performance bonus that is contracted in the CEO's employment contract. That makes up part of it. And there was a smaller percentage, Max mentioned, less than 30% was made up of his performance, was part of his retention bonus. There's a number of factors that play a role, including the ability to replace somebody at short notice. A lot of people that are employed at the bank feature, not all of them, but some of them come from the banking environment, and it would be very difficult for the bank seater, if somebody left and somebody left at a senior level, to replace them, offer them employment, whether they have permanent employment in the banking sector or elsewhere, to take up permanent employment at the bank seater, not knowing what's going to happen 12 months down the line. So replacement was critical for the bank seater. There's only 29 staff members that work for the bank seater. That includes junior staff and administrative personnel. So any one or two people that left created a capacity problem. The result was there was a risk in terms of keeping people employed, and there was a risk in terms of having to replace them, to say we can only offer you a contract for a year. I think very few people would get up on this employment to join the bank seater in that way. So the figures that you mentioned there is not what everybody received. That is split up in terms of the CEO salary, which is published, in terms of his retention bonus and his performance bonus.
Just lastly, on that one, did you have an indication that the employees were about to leave the city? They were resigning. How many had to resign?
We lost three managers, three offers that we made people to join, and we turned it down because of the uncertainty given us and the uncertainty surrounding the
sectors. No, thanks. Can we move on to the other one? The next one was the one that is able to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just on response to the deficit of 51 million, the financial statements are prepared on a general recognized accounting practice, which at the end of the day will then also give us either a surplus or a deficit at the end of the year. During the past 10 years, the FITA has requested National Treasury to return the surplus funds due to the timing differences between the projects that are run and the financial year end. Now, the unallocated unspent project fund then is resided in a reserve, which we then request retention of that. And during the financial year 2019, banks increased their project expenditure from 98 million to 155 million, which then also indicated a large spend in the project. And as Mr. Lockerbauer indicated, the CETA has identified quite a lot of positive and very good projects to support the skills development in the country.
Thank you. CEO, you can respond to the question.
The second question was, in terms of customer focus, how effective is the way we look at customer focus? Chairperson, we have subcommittees of the board for every in learnerships, in leadership development, in NCQA, to make sure that the programs that we have respond to the real needs of the sector. So there are people who come from the sector, as
skills development facilitators also come from the union that is reorganized in the sector. So they sit in there, so we make sure that the programs we run that we have identified as needs, number one, are the real needs that they are facing, that the progress is continuously exactly the way we have said it would continue. The third question was, we refer to a percentage, and it doesn't refer to a percentage of what. If you look at first time in the annual report, the percentage that I referred to is you take what was achieved against what was the target was. So that is one on top of the other, multiplied by 100 over 1, then you get the percentage, which is what you get, 135%. The reason why there was, in some cases you get up to 500, is that especially in skills development areas, when we have money that we have saved and we open a funding window, employers apply and then they train additional people. And for instance, like in the theme, in those cases, we have exceeded by some cases up to 300%. Was that including SAPSAP as a case in point, took additional 500 learners out of their own funds, not from us. We never, during this period we're referring to, never got a cent from the NSF, despite the fact that we've applied for. The fourth question was where were these training of co-ops happening? I've said they were trained in Limpopo and in Mpumalanga and KZN. The areas and the names of those co-ops we have, I do not have with me. I can make them available. I can arrange a visit to all these places that I've referred to see those co-ops and who was trained and what the training was about. The training provider was Jabu Mabobo, training provider based in Nelspruit. Number five, the question about communication strategy, what do we do? How do we make sure that the message about banks and what we do and our programs reach the people in the remote areas? We have used local newspapers. We have used radio. We have also employed this past 2 years now a mobile training bus that is kitted with a computer, kitted with everything, that goes to area to provide training, especially to SMEs. And also we use that for phase compliance and also for career awareness. This bus has trainers on it and has all the our programs on it loaded on. People come in and they give training. It is air conditioned. It goes from, currently it is standing as we speak in the Eastern Cape. It was launched in Middelburg, Mhluzi, and that's the itinerary is something that we are willing to share. Question six, in terms of objective one and objective two, that we go out to popularize banking, to especially with matriculants. It is true, but we municipalities fall under a local government sector. We actually the people we place are not placed in municipalities. They are only placed with banks and microfinance sector in terms of how the sectors are structured. The salaries, the question was that salaries offered to banks are low. I think the salaries in banks are a function of negotiation between representative unions and employers, and the CETA does not get involved. Secondly, what is an issue for us as the CETA is the stipend we pay to learners. We pay learners with matrix 2,500 a month. This is not a salary, it's a stipend once the person has been trained. The idea was that the person should actually have lunch money, airtime money, and those kind of things, and lunch money. Unfortunately, given unemployment in the country, the learners become the sole breadwinner in the family. That is unfortunate. It was never planned to be like that. The people with degrees get 3,500 rand, and the argument is exactly the same. It is one strategic decision. I can pay one learner 10,000, or I can pay four learners 2,500. We take the decision to pay 2,500. RPL, why are we not using local universities? Chairperson, it's probably easier to move the cemetery than change the university. It is probably easier to move a cemetery than change the university. Having said that, universities see RPL as competition.
they are not particularly interested in Afia. Because what you do, you say to a person that you are about 40, 45, you have garnered enough experience in your sector, in the area of work, that is the equivalent of the degree. The university is not going to make a cent out of that agreement. So why would the university be interested in that? I mean, you're asking a techie to vote for an electricity.
That universities, local universities are not cooperative, because they've been saying different things to us. That's why we're interested in the matter. So if this is something that we can help you with, we're prepared to do that. Because they've been saying different issues. Fortunately, they also come to us, so we'll be able to check the matter out. I just thought I'd be clear on what you're saying.
I was also asked what is the relationship you have with the local universities. We have a preferential arrangement and treatment with historically disadvantaged universities. University of Forte, Northwest, KZN, and University of Vanier. We assist them as much as we possibly can. We assist for instance, the training of financial markets at Forte with an online training laboratory where people trade shares online on a computer in the Forte, which we pay $4 million for to establish. At the University of Northwest, we're paying $4 million a year to train chartered accountants, 100 a year. They all get bursaries. The biggest problem we have in the chartered accounting profession is that we do not have enough. We don't get sufficient colored students coming in, despite the fact that there's a lot of good schools in those areas. So that is one of the conditions we put for the University of Northwest. We've gone to the University of Zululand, the same program with Chutuka. We have a very good relationship with South African universities in terms of funding, in terms of all the PhD programs that we are funding and postdoctoral are all at historic and disadvantaged universities. We increase their capacity of PhD and research work in order to be able to train people that graduate and undergraduate work. Number eight, for the question of the target that you set too low, I do not know whether the targets are too low or not low enough. The targets, the way I understand how the targets were set in NSGS2, whether they were global numbers agreed by government in the Department of Labor. And those numbers were de-aggregated, divided amongst the data to make up those global numbers. That's how we got the numbers that we got. Hence, the point raised by putting there to say, maybe there's a window opportunity with NSGS3 to allow us to set the target in line with our target, rather than have targets determined to us by the department. The SEMA, the question was the people that come in the SEMA and the sector is not willing to take them. Chairperson, given unemployment, when we advertise for the SEMA nationally, people will get, they are 100 times oversubscribed. And then when we have 1,000 positions, we get 10,000 people apply, which is natural. But we would not want to take people into train people for further frustration. So we take, given the ability of the sector to train them, and also the projected number that we can absorb. The replacement rate in the SEMA up to now aggregated is 71%. Others do not complete that. Get married, do all sort of strange things, get dismissed, but 71% are still working inside that. If you go into any banking hall now, the dramatic thing you see is a lot of majority historically disadvantaged kids sitting in that front. Those are formerly famous trainees. Kuyasa, the placement rate is 85% of what it is that we have. It is not true that the banks are not keen to take it long. The leadership comes straight to the question that asks the top leadership in banks is it transformed or transforming fast enough. I don't think we our sector lacks other sectors. We support the only sector that I think we have a female CEO, two black CEOs, and a chief operating officer level, we have a lot more people of color and female than any other sector that I'm aware of. The reality that the financial services sector still remains a part of South Africa, and I don't think we can pretend that we are not part of South Africa. We still are. We still have a bigger sector where we come from and where we want to go. But I think this sector has done more than other sectors have done, and given the environment we are in. The reality is as follows. In as much as there is 30,000 chartered accountants registered in this country.
Correct?
38. 1,000 more. Of those, 2,007 are African. And half of them are not in accounting or auditing. I mean, they do all our investment things. You can't blame them. There's supply and demand. Colors are even less than that. Indians are four times the number of Africans. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the throughput, the ability to stay and less trouble in their school. That's what is happening. But the ability to go into from money management requires financial skills. That is the reality. That's what we draw from. We compete with everyone. Look at chartered accountants. The real estate is taking them. Every other sector wants them. Some of them are and if you go overseas, you go to Canada, Australia, and all those places, South African chartered accountants are there. Not only white ones, not only male ones. Everybody else is taking the gap to other places. That's the reality. The last question. I refer only to two CTO learners. It is not only the same. We have others. These are the two under the Quality Council for Training Occupation. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, any follow-ups? Honorable Kandasari, Honorable Zuma, Honorable Makanto, Honorable Gogo, and then Monishon is the last one from the Commission.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, earlier this morning when we listened to another CETA, we were told that it's not the job of CETAs to train people. Now we've heard from the bank CETA that they've got a mobile bus with computers and trainers and it's going throughout the country to train people. What's the situation? Do you train people or don't you train people? What is your mandate? Are you operating outside your mandate? Is this part of your community involvement effort? Or is the previous story that you heard from the CETA that visited us earlier this morning, is that not true then? Please clarify that for me.
Thank you, I'm going to ask Mr. Wendel, representative, to come in on this one. Thank you. Let's take that. Honorable Tim.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on objective number 5. The provincial center of excellence and schools of social training, where the CEO was talking of the teachers that are training on subject like mathematics, and I became interested because it's one of the areas that we're looking at as a government, and even in his own, the portfolio committees, they put in hiring. I have to say, if ever we can get just a picture of where these centers are, what is their progress, how many teachers are being trained, and because of the AI, I think we are all going to be interested in the transport and the most and to respond to most of the challenges that we have as a government around the field of teachers and those subjects. Just the demographics throughout the provinces, where and how our needs are. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Makati.
Because
in
our
reduce the accessible. That's the first one. The second one, does that issue of the performance bonus and the issue of the rotation bonus, if they don't have the details now, it's fine, Chairperson. So maybe they should send us that information, disaggregate it, so that we can know which one was performance bonus, which one was the retention bonus. Lastly, and I think I'm going to be very unorthodox and praise people for a deficit, and I'm going to explain. Because I think the biggest challenge that CTAs have, what I said to have, is that they are holding huge reserves. And there is a perception out there that there are billions of rents that cannot be spent. So I think for the first time I've seen a CTA that is able, that is efficient when it comes to disbursement of funds. Unless the money was spending fruitless, wasteful expenditure, I would be very worried. But it seemed to me here that the money was spent for the work that it was intended for. So maybe we should just congratulate them for that. That they are doing something that other sectors are not able to do. You'll find that, yeah, like I said, the problem of investment, whether it's talking about discretionary or mandatory. So maybe I should praise the sector here. But like I say, that it's unusual to praise people for having a deficit. But I understand myself very well here.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think we raised the issue of the provinces even with the previous one, and maybe they would be justifiable. All the banks, major banks, the head offices are in housing. I don't know how that's justified. And I was making an example earlier on that we even have agriculture in housing, where we don't need to do agriculture in housing. There's very minimum of agriculture in housing if it doesn't. But, and Mr. Hoon was trying to assist us to say, these are some of the things that they're looking at the department in terms of accessibility of CTAs broadly as part of the renewal and the new CTAs. And we're hoping that that should assist us as we go forward. But just on the issue of, the issue of the demand that we're talking about, and I know that you're providing some buffers. And I'm very keen to pick up because you've got your feeder bazaars for metric students. So this thing is Catskill, and then you've got a separate, because I see you have got a research funding for your Catskill area where you do research funding. You're funding research purposes to get your Catskill, which is a good thing. But in terms of the amount that goes into bazaars to support the industry in producing more people on this case scale, what are you looking at percentage wise? And I can't pick up if you can with the CFO. If you can pick up where you're reflecting that in terms of the numbers, the figures that you spent, just to look at, because if we continue to see the case scale and there isn't a response towards that, we continue to have case scale. And I should tell you that majority of young people who get into this industry gets through. And unless we do something drastic to change that, so that when they get in, it's not only on teaching, or those who have capacity who get into the system as tenure, but are able to be provided with support to expand and grow. Because the fact that they are there, it shows that they've got interest in it. Despite the low paying environment, it is true. Tenors are paid least. And it's most stressful environment. But how do we support those who show interest in this industry so that we sustain them as they grow within it through the bazaars that are available?
Your question was asked whether we have to do any training, whether when we do training or outside on Monday. The answer is simple, is that we facilitate training. That is, first, let's, for instance, we find that there is no material. For instance, it's Islamic banking. We went out and found a person, we got a committee of experts to define what the training should entail, get mulanas to make sure that the Sharia compliant, and divide and pay for that. And gave it to banks to make sure that the training happens. So that's the part. The second part is
for instance, where the material is not our material, it's somebody else's material, where we contract with the person to do the training on our behalf. We pay for that and determine that happens with the contracts we have, for instance, with mill pump business, food and so forth. Now that's how that happens. The third one is also another one, which is the one we're doing now with the mobile training solution. One is, for instance, people that are in SMEs, they normally have two or three employees. So for them, they would make a choice between training or trading. So if they send one person, it's 30% of their staff or 50% of their staff. Nobody asks that from any other company. So what we then do, we bring the mobile training bus to do a training of national credit regulator to understand what their obligations are in terms of that. Customer service, computer knowledge, and so forth. So those, the training is ours. We pay for the trainers, and these are trainers that we pay. This is what we want to do. We want to go in this town, and we pay for that. So in as much as we people that stand in front of that, we first do the ETQA, the monitoring and evaluation done by our own people. So that's what we do. So we actually have to do the whole spectrum in terms of making sure that we respond to the skill requirements of our sector. So I do not want to say all teachers should do the same, because our environments are not the same. The question was also asked in terms of the centers of excellence, where are these? The one I referred to was in Lusaka City, and the towns, it was in the three towns. One was in Bizana, in the Eastern Cape, the other one in Limbote, and the other one, the main one was in Lusaka City. Still running, we pay for the trainers who come in there and help the teacher to teach better in math, accounting and English. The teachers are with an agreement we have with the Eastern Cape department, because maybe I should take two steps there. How did they land up in Eastern Cape? We were struggling to get kids into our programs, managers and bursaries, chartered accountants with passing math. And then people for the passing math, they all want to be doctors or engineers and other things. Very little want to come to banking for a number of reasons. So we went and said, we can complain, but maybe we can increase the size of the pool. So the way to do that, we can do what we call a gifted people project. We can take the best kids in an area, help them, give them boost until they pass. But that is the only, you can only do it once. Because after they pass, they go on. So the best you can do is to help the teachers who are going to stay in those schools. Give them the requisite. So, and I don't want to go into a long story. We agreed on the story, we went to National Department of Education. We said, which is the worst performing province? He said, the Eastern Cape. When we go to the Eastern Cape, we asked for the worst performing district, which was designed to get the bottom. Which is what we want to improve. Whether with better assistance to teachers, we could not improve the rate of pass in the trip. So that's what we did. So the reality is that it's not true that the people are unable to pass math, accounting, and science. It's just that they actually do not have. And most of the schools, so all the countries that we get are true. So that's what we did. So the resource center model works, and we got the material paid for, that what you help teachers to understand, and also in class management schemes, that we've done. The question says, why only in this country? I mean, there's 23 centers. Maybe if we ask all the centers to take one or other province, maybe that would be better. That's a suggestion. But what we wanted to do to make sure that we increase the percentage of kids that have the metric pass, not necessarily math, pure math, that will pass, so they can get into our program. They will not necessarily come to our program. For instance, the best student from the city is now doing a BSc Actuarial Science paid for by Old Mutual. Will not come into our sector. But I think it's a good thing that somebody, at least there's a best kid, or somebody who's done that. I mean, the fact that the parents do not know what actuarial is, that is not the issue. But we want to have proven that it actually works. The question was, is it true that we have good kids in the country? I think we have. I think we have a very good training. But the problem is that you cannot look at CAs and engineers and medicine only, because that's the skills that are being posed by the developed economies, and I think that's something that we need to deal with the political level. But from where I'm sitting is, yes, we what we need to do is to increase the numbers of people that actually have good maths path and accounting path and metric that can go into these programs. We struggle in South Africa to recruit chartered accountants and people who have just financial managers. with good qualifications. It's true, but the reality is that you cannot complain that if you don't do anything. At least light is, rather than keep the darkness, light is more telling. Is it true that we are based in healthcare? Yes, we are based in New Zealand, in Baker Street, that's where we are. How many we have can take a choice? We can open 9 provincial offices and pay your rentals to people who will be smiling in their head and employ staff to create people to come in there. Or we can take that money and use it for the thing that we are going to do. The reality of the life is 70% of the employment in banks is in healthcare. The other 20% is in Western Cape, the other 12% is KZN. I do not know how that happened, but that's the reality of what we're dealing with. What people do, of course there are people who are in Kakamas, who are in Zulfinten, who are in Bizana, who can be good financial managers and good accountants in banks. That's reality. But the reality of this, that's how our economy is structured. Is it going to change? If it does not change, I agree. If we are, the reality still remains, for a person to get a workplace training inside bank, it must be inside a bank. A bank that has all the functions, not a small bank. So that means in your bigger metropoles. Last question was bursaries. Yes, we offer bursaries, not only the senior bursaries, we offer the accounting bursaries, we offer bursaries to people who are inside banks, we also offer PhD funding, and all of that, those numbers, how many people are, but the majority, all those people are, 85% of them are black. 54% of them are female, and 4% are supposed to be disabled. We have not achieved that much.
You want to say something, Ivan?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Based on what is required from the second Education and Training Authority, the CETAs, I think it's obvious, like we've already indicated, I mean, they basically need implementation agencies of the department in order to implement some requirements of the Skill Development Act. Now, if one looks at the purpose of the Act, then it's to implement national sector as well as work plan strategies to develop and improve the skills of the South African workforce. So basically, that is what CETAs must ensure will happen. Now, so, and that will happen through various processes, but it boils down to that they must basically ensure that the people are skilled within the sector. And now to be more specific, Section 10 of the Skill Development Act basically will prescribe the functions of the CETA. Now, I'm not going to waste your time, to go into detail, but Section 10 basically saying that they must develop a sector skills plan, they must implement the sector skills plan, they must promote learnerships, they must register learnerships. So there are basically a list of functions that they must perform. So basically, like I said, if one look at the purpose of the Act, they must basically implement the purpose as well as ensure that all the people within the sector, employed, unemployed, will be skilled to be more productive and also to can get a job. Now, maybe, Madam Chair, just that was another thing that was raised, and the CEO of Banksita indicated that it's the department that set the targets. Now, I just want to clarify an important issue. A CETA and a department will enter into a service level agreement in terms of the service level agreement regulations as well as in terms of Section 10A of the Skills Development Act. Now, in short, it boils down to that the CETA and the department will on an annual basis agree on targets based on the needs within the sector. So therefore, it's not the department setting the targets, it's based on an agreement and also looking at the needs and the funds and all those type of issues that you will find during the negotiations processes. Now, although there are national targets as agreed through the network processes on specific success indicators in your national skills development strategy, those are the minimum. It's not to say that we will just focus on the minimum. It depends on the needs of the sector where it can be more left, but what I want to emphasize is it's an agreement between the department and the relevant CITAS. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I think that issue of us engaging further would be important in terms of what becomes the targets and all that. I think we obviously have to engage further with the department. Just to take this opportunity to thank the thanks to the other delegation led by the chairperson of the board. Thank you very much for coming through to engage with us. Members, we had indicated that we'll deal with the minutes. Can I request that we put this for next Tuesday when we meet? As I've got my reply mentioned, that started 15 minutes ago, as the whip and my other teachers. So the chair next week will deal with this next week, Wednesday. So can I request that members we look at the minutes, and then so that next week when we come, we adopt them. And I'd like to include the meeting in our board.
I just want to check why Tuesday, not Wednesday.
Wednesday in the meeting. I made a correct statement. So in that note, the meeting is